Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
We're going to go back to a familiar topic here, which is sexually transmitted diseases. You picked an interesting article. We're going to talk about chlamydia. Our listeners will know that chlamydia is common, especially in young, sexually active women, much more common in younger than 25-year-old people than it is older, but it's not uncommon in older people as well. Untreated infections can be long-lasting. They can be asymptomatic. If untreated, we know that about 10% of women will develop pelvic inflammatory disease, and a subgroup of these will go on to develop infertility and perhaps ectopic pregnancies. We also know that about 3 million new cases occur in the United States. We suspect that that is not accurate. It's probably an underrepresentation because women and guys have a hesitancy to come and visit us. I don't know why that is. Risk factors for chlamydia include youth, history of prior infections, multiple sexual partners, history of prior sexually transmitted diseases. Unmarried are more likely than married, and there's a confounder here with socioeconomic status. Again, a little bit political, but it may have more to do with access to care than it does to actually getting infected. Nonetheless, vaginal swabs collected either by the patient or clinician are the sample of choice. They're preferred over urine. They have a slightly better sensitivity and comparable specificity. The sensitivity of tests with a swab is 93% compared to 81% from a first catch urine. Self-collected vaginal swabs. These seem to be pretty well accepted by women. Mark's chosen an article this month. It comes from the BMJ, published in 2012, 345. The electronic version starts on page 8013. It asks, can self-taken vulvovaginal swabs be used to identify chlamydia and gonorrhea in women who present for the treatment of a suspected STD? So the idea here is that these women are collecting these swabs themselves. They don't have to go into a clinic or healthcare facility. Mark, what did they find?
Well, yeah, this was real interesting. There's two studies, so they sort of sliced the salami and published one study about gonorrhea and one about chlamydia. And there were 8,000 women who presented to a sexually transmitted infection clinic in urban setting in the UK. And before their exam by a physician, the women were given instructions and told how to do their own swab, a vulvovaginal swab. Following collection, the women were examined, and the clinician obtained urethral and endocervical swabs for gonorrhea and vaginal swab, and endocervical and vaginal swabs for chlamydia. And they used nucleic acid amplification testing, and the reference standard for gonorrhea was a positive culture with biochemical confirmation or positive nucleic acid test, and same thing for chlamydia. So what they found was about 10% of women had chlamydia, about 2.5% had gonorrhea, and interestingly, the self swab was actually more sensitive than the endocervical swab. So 97% versus 88%. So about 10% of people were missed by the endocervical. The self swab picked it up. And they also looked at the sensitivity for gonorrhea a little bit more, about the same, 99 versus 96, but actually a little better and considerably better than culture alone. So culture is not very sensitive. And another study, a different study, had looked at urine testing for these organisms and found that, again, the self-swab was better than the urine testing. So self-taken vaginal swabs by women who think they may have a STI, you know, with subsequent testing using the Gen probe, are more sensitive than clinician-obtained swabs. So that's pretty interesting.
What you do is you give the woman a swab and give her some instructions, much as you would, you know, for a urine test. Mm-hmm. You're giving them specific instructions on how to do the swab. You let them do it themselves, and then they bring the swab back to you and you send it to the lab?
Yep.
So it's not mail-in. It's in the office. They still have
Correct.
To come into
but
the office.
It would be much more efficient, and you could presumably do that with a less well-trained healthcare worker. So particularly in a busy STI clinic like this, not every patient in that case would necessarily have to have a physical examination or a pelvic exam. So there's some efficiencies, and certainly in under-resourced settings, like in developing countries, this may be something that's quite applicable.
But very interesting. I mean, I guess perhaps what would be really useful would be to have somebody be able to do this, mail it in, and then come in if they're positive, so you don't have to wait and have them come back twice.
Yeah, and I don't know if the specimen would survive that, but seems like there might be a way to do that.
Thanks, Mark. Interesting poem. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.